All right, go ahead. I am now recording.
Hello! Is this Paul the Shy Yeti?
Now it's time for the shittiest podcast in the world! It's the Shy Life Podcast!
With me, Shy Yeti.
He's not that shy!
128. Hello, listeners. It's me, Shy Yeti. Back again for another episode of the Shy Life Podcast. Whew, well, this time I think I can confidently predict that things will be back to normal. Well, kind of. We've got a very special guest this time. A special guest that we probably can't describe as being completely normal. Let's just say this is no Toppy or DJ or Brenda Boo or Taffy Carlisle Huffington or well, you know, any of the sort of guests we've had this year. This guest is quite out of this world, really. Yeah. And that's with no respect to the other guests that I've mentioned. No, this guest is definitely quite out of this world. I won't say any more for the moment. But I think it's best that we just run the title music and move straight on into the episode.
What's going to happen today?
Oh my God, it's enormous. It's the Shy Life Podcast.
The show is out of this world.
Oh dear, this isn't going to end well.
Very strange show indeed.
Oh, a million kisses, darling.
I asked for pies. That's all I asked for. Pies.
It's not art.
Oh dear, I had a part of that. Still, never mind.
Hey, that Yeti, he's crazy.
That's cool.
Those poor listeners, what have they done to deserve this, eh? Oh dear, oh dear.
Well, there we go. Hello. Hello again, yes. So this episode, as I say, we've got quite an exciting guest. And a very exciting guest. And I'm involving all of the regulars. So I think I'm right in saying that you will hear Damius's voice. Damius was involved. This was recorded a little while before he took his recent holiday. Yeah. Have you heard from him, Paul? Sorry, Yeti, Uncle John? Have I heard from Damius? No, I've not heard from Damius. But, it's hard to believe what happened, isn't it? Blimey. He didn't seem... Well, he didn't seem at all, you know, he seemed quite himself when we recorded this episode coming up. Well, yes, that's true. But as I say, it was obviously before what happened recently, and before he and Bettina had their little chat. So, yeah, look, I'm sure we will see Damius again soon, in the new year or whatever. Give him a month or two to just totally chill out. I mean, he's on prescription drugs. No, on the edge. Well, he probably is on prescription drugs. Who isn't these days? But no, he's on the edge. He's always so nervous. He's always so. You know, that's just with his normal everyday life, you know, with his work. It's not easy being Damius Twinklehorn. He doesn't find it easy to relax. I mean, I know what it's like. I'm not much different. I mean, as far as not being able to relax, I can't even sit down and just watch a film these days without wanting to be editing an episode of the podcast or working on some writing project. I think it's because particularly in my job working in the library, you're kind of expected to be doing two things, three things, four things, five things at once. I've always resented when people say that men can't multitask. You couldn't work in a library and not be able to multitask. You know, I mean, maybe generally men can't multitask, but I think that's, you know, since computers have come along, you know, I'm always sitting there with about five different screens open, doing a little, going from one screen to another, trying to do this, trying to do that, trying to order my shopping, trying to order my groceries for next week, trying to buy someone's birthday present, trying to, you know, just 101 things at once. You're supposed to, 101? Blimey. Right, I exaggerated. So, Paul, you were going to tell the listeners who our guest is? Yes. Now, listeners, you will recognise this voice. You will recognise our guest. Do you remember the episode where I'd been recording with Yeti Uncle John, and we both had, you know, we finished recording, and then we went to get our bus, and I got on, and little did I know it wasn't the bus that I thought it was, and I ended up in, well, I'm not sure where it was. But it wasn't London, and it wasn't here, and it wasn't in any way normal. This is the number one bus, isn't it?
Yes, the number one bus.
Yeah, number one to Tottenham Court Road.
Yeah, what you said.
Yeah. I don't recognise what I'm seeing.
Don't you? Mm-hmm.
Are you sure this is going the right way?
Of course I'm sure. Just sit down and relax.
Oh, okay.
Turn into this dark tunnel here.
Oh.
That's why I got my headlights on.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm in control here.
Oh, good, good. That was strange. What was that? It was like it looked like a skeleton standing by the roadside.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I've never seen those pits of fire and flame before.
You haven't? Oh, yeah. This is the same route day after day. Same thing. It's fine.
No. Well, it's your usual route. I don't know if it's my usual route.
No.
Are you sure this is the right way?
Of course I'm sure.
Well, you just did an evil laugh.
Oh, yes, I did. Pay no attention to my evil laugh.
Well, I can do an evil laugh. Did you know that?
Yeah. Oh, you think that's evil? Listen to this.
Ooh, that was quite...
That's an evil laugh.
Well, yeah, sort of. But it's sort of... It was a little bit camp, I thought.
Oh, right, but I do the evil laughs around here. You just sit down. I'm doing the drink.
All right. There really is only one more thing that you could do for me, dear lady, if you would be so kind, and that is simply to point me in the direction of the bus stop. I only want to get home.
Is that all you wish to know? Is it? Is it really? Well, I'm afraid it's just not going to be that easy. You see, now that you're here, there's simply no undoing it.
I don't understand. Surely those buses must go back and forth.
Back and forth, up or down. It's no business of yours whether they do or whether they don't. I'm afraid it's against the rules. You are here now, and here you will stay. There's no going back. No return to Cinder. No, no! You can never go home. You are here forever, young man. Do you hear me? Forever! Forever! Forever!
We just call that Mayfair, Paul. No, it wasn't Mayfair or Soho or any place you would recognise. Anyway, whilst I was there, I met Deddy Grahams. Yes, Deddy Grahams. And I'd heard Deddy Grahams speaking on Tim and James and Tim's show Tastes Like Burning. And, you know, I'd always quite admired her. She's a very interesting lady. And, well, I bumped into her. I think I might have driven her slightly nuts, so much so that she... sort of, well, pointed me in the right direction to get home, partly. But, yes, well, I can't say I blame her, Paul. Yeah, all right. No need to be mean. Anyway. So anyway, Denny Grahams and I had been in touch, and, well, the situation came about that I was able to catch up with Denny Grahams and, you know, properly chat with her, interview her. Although, as you will see, it wasn't just me. It was all of the regulars that got to speak to her. Yes. Why don't you take a listen? Listeners, how are you? Lovely.
Hello, troll face.
It's actually Shayeti.
Whatever. The sofa's a little tatty, but I don't suppose it matters when you're 100% audio.
Yeah, you're not wrong, Denny Grahams.
Call me D Grahams. My people are trying to get me to rebrand. To be honest, I'm not sure there's much point. After all, you can't teach a dead dog new tricks.
Well, it's lovely to have you here, Daddy. D Grahams. You're looking well, considering.
Charmed, I'm sure. I see you got back from the other side. Not many people manage that.
Oh, well, I met a nice statue who pointed me in the right direction of the bus station.
You should come back in the spring when the new plants start to grow.
Daffodils.
Venus flytraps, deadly nightshade, giant man-eating succulents.
Oh, how unconventional. You should open your own garden center.
Why ever would I want to do that? I have oceans of agony to advise on.
Of course, which is exactly what I wanted to ask you about. In your long career, what is it about your job that you love the most?
Payday, sweetie. That's what everyone says, surely.
You get payday? Even now?
Why, of course. You don't think I do this job for free, do you? Have you flipped? No, I'm paid, like anybody else. Sure, there's a little more ectoplasm on the notes than you'd normally find on the notes residing in your wallet, but I find it keeps the moths company.
Yes. Hello.
Well, hello, dearie. Now, who exactly are you?
This is Yeti Uncle John. He's family.
I'm sorry, Furface. Is that a euphemism?
No. Well, I'm not sure, actually. We don't really talk about stuff like that. I'm sorry, D. Grahams. I'll just find out what he wants. Yeti Uncle John, what do you want exactly? I'm right in the middle of an interview with a very important guest. Yes, we know that. We? Yes, we, us, the regulars, your regulars. Why had you forgotten us? Maybe slightly. You are kind of forgettable. I'm joking.
Oh, go on. Let them ask me questions. It could be fun. They might be cuter than you.
I... See? She's keen. Let's chat, lady. It would be a pleasure. What's your favourite flavour of ice cream?
Despair, with mainly just a hint of desperation.
Ooh, I think I know that taste. It's a bit rich for me, but I respect your choice. Oh, pretty heavy duty. Okay, next question. Which do you prefer, being alive or being dead?
What a stupid question. Being dead is far more fun. Of course it is.
Sure, I thought as much. But what are the best bits of being dead?
The long weekends.
Oh, cool. And my final question. Which is your favourite beetle?
Dung. Every time. No competition. I admire their work ethic. Is that it? Well, good. Maybe I'll see you later for a little drinky.
Yes. Well, thank you now. Oi, Ick, it's your turn now.
Ooh, how exciting. Hello, Denny Grahams. It's lovely to meet you.
Well, what the hell have you come as, sweet cheeks?
I'm just here as myself.
Don't tell me. You're one of those alien types, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I am.
Hey, Ick, say yes, ma'am, not sir.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Sir is just fine by me. I've always felt I had the authority of a sir.
Absolutely, sir. Ma'am, mom, madam. Oh!
Go ahead, little Martian fellow. What is your question?
Where is the strangest place you've ever eaten Chinese food?
Well, sweet cheeks, now that's an extremely good question.
Thank you, Your Honor. So what would your answer be?
Probably on the end of Blackpool Pier, dressed in nothing more than a top hat and Christmas decorations. It was, oh, summer 1973, and I was mistaken for a glam rocker when actually I was simply on the way to a friend's wedding and had taken the wrong turning just off Spaghetti Junction.
That's a good answer, D-Grams. Was the food good, or can't you remember?
It was absolutely fantabulous. The best I'd ever had.
Thank you, Your Honor. Comedy is next, if you're willing to answer another question or two.
Why, of course. Do step up. Thank you for your question, Tricky Icky. It brought back good memories. Ah, now, you're a curious one. Cromedy, is it? Cromedy?
Yes, miss. Hello. Yes. Yes, miss. Exactly that. Ever so pleased to meet you.
And you have a question for me. What flavor question exactly?
I have scientific leanings, so my queries are along those lines.
Ask away.
What is your favorite cup of soup?
Regret, with extra croutons. And yours?
Oh, well, myself, I am very partial to a mixture of belly button fluff and dust, inspired by recipes handed down in our family on my grandmother's side of the family.
Fascinating. You must share the recipe with me sometime.
I will indeed. One more question, if you have got time.
Of course, Honey Lumps, as your first question was so brief.
What is your favorite variety of science?
That's a harder one. Maybe biology with just a smattering of chemistry. I can't be doing with physics, so don't ask me. After all, we all know that the world is flat and there's no such thing as gravity.
Why, of course. Thank you, dear lady. Damius, are you ready to ask your questions?
Oh, I am. Very much so.
Then ask away, good Sir Twinklehorn.
Twinklehorn, you say? Oh, not one of the Twinklehorns of New Hampshire, by any chance.
Oh, not myself, no. But I do have connections out that way, I believe.
How fascinating. I once had a flirtation with a New Hampshire Twinklehorn. I daren't even guess how long ago now, but you definitely have the family nose.
So I'm told, madam. Oh, so I'm told.
So, what might your question be?
Well, I'm an actor, you see, and I wondered whether you'd ever tried acting yourself at all.
Every day, darling, with my husband. Need I say any more?
Oh, golly. Good gracious. No, I get your point.
Still, maybe I shouldn't be so harsh. He has been dead for 173 years, but then I'm not far behind him, and I'm absolutely fine.
Fine. Absolutely perfect. Good grief. What is his problem?
Oh, believe me. I've contemplated that endlessly over the years. The more I look at you, the more you remind me of him.
Yes.
Okay. There's nothing more to see here. Do I have any more questions?
Pies. Pies.
It depends. Our Bagurian chum, Charlie Gurr, is here. Do you answer questions about pies?
Pies. Oh, it's just two pies and...
No questions about pies. If I can't eat them, we can't discuss them. The last pie I tried to eat turned out to be made of ectoplasm. And believe me, that's no fun at all. So, are we done?
Darling, 1,000,000 kisses. 1,000,001 kisses. Do you have time for just one more question? So sorry I'm late.
I've never been known to say no to just one more. Go on, dearie. What are you asking?
Most grateful. My name's Bettina. Bettina Dupre.
Darling! I know that. Everyone knows you. Even the dead.
Oh, honey, so kind. I'm so flattered.
How can I help you? I'm such a fan. How very exciting to meet you. Shh, now, I'm not meant to do so, but I'm most grateful to answer your question, although I feel I should be asking you one.
Then do, darling. Please do. Actually, I need your advice on men. I'm a part-time, poorly used agony aunt, and yet sometimes this is the one thing I need from other people, just a listening ear.
Men? Oh, aren't they just dreadful creatures? I can assure you they're no better behaved dead than they are alive.
Why aren't I even surprised?
Still, I'm not sure I can offer you advice, but I can share my experiences. We can swap notes, I'm sure.
Delightful. That would be absolutely perfect.
Oh, yes. Oh, I can't wait to talk to you about this.
Yes, darling. Oh,
well,
yes.
Really. Well, really.
Really? Oh, goodness.
I can't believe it, listeners.
Ignore him, darling. He's just jealous.
John, what did you make of that? Well, I thought it was very good, but then I was there and I heard her say it. Oh, I hope the listeners enjoyed it. Did you enjoy it, listeners? I expect they did. Gosh, she really is interesting, Dedigrams. You sounded a bit pissed off, Paul. What? Did I? Oh, well, no, it's just that I'd arranged, you know, getting Dedigrams to a situation, to a point where she could be interviewed. Wasn't easy. It wasn't like getting a Skype call. I can't go into details, but it's a lot more complex. And then I didn't seem to get much more than about 5 minutes with her before everyone else started asking her questions. But, you know, my fault. I just have to lock the interview door next time. Oh, you're so mean. You're so mean. She was lovely. Yes, very nice to meet her. Yes, exactly. I would say so. Now, listen. That isn't the end of the episode. What have we got? I don't know, Paul. You were supposed to be finding something from the archives.
Oh, yes, I will do. Are you going to read a poem first?
All right, I'll read a poem or two, and then when we come back, John will have something from the archives, which will help finish off this episode. This is called A Legend of Their Making. He's a legend of their making. He's well known for flying high. All the papers love his gossip. It pays them well to poke and pry. He is a gent with quite a story. He is a fellow makes them swoon. It seems he makes a ton of money, though he can barely hold a tune. He looks so good in leather trousers with his shirt slashed to the waist. His fans are there to tear his clothes off, or they may strip themselves in haste. Piling Stark into his roller takes all his groupies home tonight, although it's sleeping with his chauffeur that really truly does excite. Alas, such things must keep for later, until the early hours of dawn, like some passionate Greek Adonis whose true intentions may be torn. He's a legend in his lunchtime, yet another pin-up shot must uphold his lusty image, which is hard when he is not. A legend in their tiny world, a legend in their mind. His 15 minutes soon be over, but he still has a great behind. His come-to-bed eyes have grown weary, he never really wanted this, and so he takes his chauffeur boyfriend, heading off in search of bliss. Shock headlines in the papers, record company drop their act. They will find another pretty boy to replace the one they've sacked. But this time the girls don't want him, disinterest in their stare. They like the one they had before, straight or gay, they do not care. They are happy that he's happy, they are loyal and want his song. Anxious glances up in marketing, now that something's going wrong. He's a legend in their households, and very soon he's signed again, with his boyfriend as his manager and a number one in Spain. The shackles of the past now, well, they've been binned and cast away. He's a legend in their living rooms, and he's going to stay that way. There are quite a lot of pop stars, or stars in sort of teeny bop bands that came out in the noughties, and when I wrote that poem, it seemed quite... there were still people in bands and actors and all sorts of people in all sorts of professions that don't come out. So, yeah, just depends on what point of that story you find yourself in. This one's called In Two Minds. I'm in two minds, I'm quite uncertain. My life, it seems, is full of holes. Should I dress for tea or wear a curtain? Take my bike along or bring the rolls? I'll do one thing, though think another. I'm far from sure of my own mind. I'll flirt with you, but woo your mother. I'm odd like that, I think you'll find. I'm quite aware, can't take a hint. I'm half asleep, yet wide awake. I'm generous, yet such a skinflint. I can't decide, make no mistake. I'm in two minds, feel quite defeated. Off out the door, yet here to stay. I'm riding high, then come unseated. I know I've got to lead the way. I love you loads, though can't abide you. I dither till I'm quite unsure. Should I quit or see the way through? I'm saintly, often so impure. I'll buy in blue, though love the peach. I'll eat the steak, I wanted fish. I'm feeling hoarse, let's make a speech now. Cross my toes and make a wish. I'm in two minds, it's not the first time. I know I've got to make a stand. I'm guarded, but that's not my worst crime. I feel it's gotten out of hand. I abhor the things that once I lusted. I'm forgetting whom I'm meant to be. I've become someone who can't be trusted. A stranger who really isn't me. I'm in two minds, my head is spinning. I've lost my way and dropped behind. A losing streak when once was winning. Either completely sane or out my mind. I've got one more poem for you. All three pieces are from my collection Love Songs for the Bitter and Twisted, which I wrote in 2004. Now, this one is sort of library themed. It's called Fahrenheit 451. Rather than Fahrenheit 451, it's, yes, 451. Here we go. Fahrenheit 451. It was nearly going home time. It was nearly time to go. The clock, which read 4:30, was perhaps a minute slow. There was much to do before five. There were books to be arranged, customers to be dealt with, and rotors to be changed. But she was tired of the library. She had really had enough. She was sick of pompous readers always getting in a huff. She was seen as so conservative and never full of lust. She hated every volume that still coated her in dust. Well, she was frantic now, obsessive, concerning what she had to do. Looking at the clock, the time already read 4:42. Loathing every minute that she worked within that place. Well, she had planned a sweet revenge which all her customers must face. It would make her bosses sorry, trapped there within and sure to die. She would delight in all their suffering, just to see those bastards fry. Down below her in the basement, she quickly smiled, recalled her plan. There weren't that many minutes left, so she took her bag and ran. 4:48, 4:49, the minutes crawling on. In the basement, bombs were ticking, soon the library would be gone. 4:50, just a minute, and not a moment more. But 4:51 came passing, 4:52 a floor, 4:53 still nothing, the building silent as the grave. For this had only been a test run. Next time they'd not be saved. Next time, and very soon now, she'd not greet the deed with sorrow. Soon she would carry out her master plan. Next month, next week, maybe tomorrow. The story of a librarian planning on, yes, blowing up her place of work. Yes. Well, she didn't do it this time. Hopefully she won't do it at all. Those poor little books. I don't know. Anyway, so, Yeti Uncle John, do you have something to fill up the last, few minutes of this episode? Well, you need to think of something good after the whole Dedigrams interview.
All right, yes, I've got something. I found something. Yes. Yes. Just listen. Aren't you going to announce it? Introduce it? No. Just you sit back and listen. All right, then, listeners. Yeti Uncle John has found us something to fill up the last few minutes of this episode. So let us all sit back and enjoy whatever it is that he has chosen. It better be good, Yeti Uncle John.
Oh, yes. Go on, you just listen. So, what was I going to tell you? Yes. You know, I've been digitising old episodes of Sutton Park and stories and tapes and anything I can find, basically. I've just got so much to look through, really. And as much as I would like to be putting lots of stuff on YouTube, it's not always possible. And, you know, it's actually easier for me to edit things on audio than it is on video at the moment. And often, you know, a lot of Sutton Park is talky. It's ad-libbing and it's silliness, and it works quite well on audio. So the next few clips that I'm going to play are sound that I stripped off the original video. Oh, yes.
I think you might remember ages ago, I played a few clips from Sutton Park, but me holding the recorder to the TV, recording it off the TV, but I'm able to take the actual sound off now. It won't be as clear as this probably, but it'll be, well, as good as it gets, basically, as good as is possible. And yes, so these little bits, these little clips, are me playing, well, a number of different characters, one of them being Horner, who, well, he appears in my writing. He's an amphibian man. And there'll be me playing characters, and there'll be my friend Lee playing a number of characters, well, namely one called Gustav von Hellbent, who was like a sort of evil genius. So you don't really need to understand the context, but you can hear the silliness. I hope it works out. I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, it's been a long journey. A long journey. I already told Paul I was going to the shops. Here's my pretend shopping. Of course, what I've actually come to do is see Von Hellbent. Got this certificate with me. This is, hopefully it will discredit him. And so I can get the CMX off him. But I haven't actually transformed or mutated anything recently, but... Oh, God! Oh! There he is now.
Strange. I could have sworn I could hear some rustling sound. Maybe it's some static. Shit!
Yes, you bastard!
My friend, hello. Oh, here.
Yes, it's me.
Hello. Ah, yes. Now, I believe, maybe, that I have a...
Come a long way to see you.
An appraisal for you, my fine fellow. I do believe that since my brother has been sent to the moon, I suspect maybe you had something to do with it, no?
Sort of.
Perhaps you used the drugs to get Paul Chandler to do my bidding after all.
No.
No.
He got to it anyway.
Well, thank you anyway, my friend. You have served your purpose very well. Now, piss off out of it. I have got other things to concentrate on. And what's more, I don't need you anymore.
Listen.
I've got a new genetic half-breed. Ah.
Talk about your wife again, aren't you?
No, and I am not married.
Come back here. I have things to talk to you about.
Oh, dear.
I want...
Yes?
I want the cure. The serum.
What is that you have in your hand?
It is a little bargaining power. I have a certificate here which proves that you're not a real doctor, but you're a phony.
Ah, yeah.
I want the serum.
You mean the one that was signed by my,
Dr. Fellows.
Tutor? Shit. Yes, I see. Well, if you give it to me here, I will just go and fetch the serum X for you.
No, you must think I'm foolish.
No, foolish. Of course I don't, my fine fellow. If I thought you were foolish, I would have dispensed with you a long time ago. The fact that I'm dispensing with you now has completely nothing to do with it. This is Gustav Jr., by the way. Say hello, Gustav Jr.
So it's not Gustav von Beerbelly.
I take exception to that. Give me that.
No, you don't. I've got a stronger grip than you. More practice.
Damn. I should never have given him extra human strength. Very well. Where do you wish to meet?
Where would you suggest?
Let us see now.
Somewhere neutral. I'm not coming to your underground caverns.
I was thinking exactly the same thing. Neutral territory. But you see, I can't go too far away from here. I have work to concentrate on. I can't go all the way up to Birmingham or
wherever.
Well,
make it as quick as possible. I've got to get back. I'm supposed to be shopping.
Yes. Yes, of course. We will meet halfway, as it were. Somewhere in London.
Yes.
Yes? Where would you like to meet?
Somewhere at Trafalgar Square or something?
Trafalgar Square it is, my fine fellow. I shall have the Serum X, you shall have the certificate, and we shall both depart happy, happy little people.
When? How long?
For some time away, perhaps in about a month or so.
A month?
March, something like that. The beginning of March, that will do. I have lots to do. I still have to concentrate on Gustav Jr.'s health, you see. Wollstonecraft is sulking like mad, and I've got this to deal with.
Look, I may claim. I may claim some money back on my train fares if I've got to go back home again.
Oh, we'll see about that. Yes. A check will do.
Yes.
I'm sure.
I shall see you in March. We shall arrange dates closer to the time.
Yes.
We're going to head back now. Goodbye, old thing.
Goodbye.
Well, I didn't quite go as I planned, but better in some ways, I suppose. Yes. Oh well. Better get back, I suppose. Yes. Better get back. Meanwhile, Mr. Parkhurst, yes, is trying to get rid of the vermin in his garden.
I can't seem to locate the warren. The wretched little rapscallions. I'll blow their little fluffy ears off, ruining my crocuses. Hello. A.C.A. Warren. Come out there, you vermin! Out! Right. You're not frightened of my army surplus gun, eh? Right. I'll have you. I've got something left over from those vagrants who inhabited my house. The vandals. Aha. If this don't frighten the willies up ya, nothing will, you rich little rabbits. Right. Bugger. Senior. Bugger. Yeah, dear. I'll blow this little rabbit if it kills me. Go, fizzle. Yes! Fizzle! Good, fizzle! Oh, shit!
Two hours later, he's still having trouble. Four hours later, he's still having trouble.
Bastard!
Twenty-six days later, he's still having trouble.
I think I've burnt my thumb!
It is time to give up.
Listen here. Last time we didn't get you. You were too stupid. We were too stupid. We'll get in this time, won't we? Yeah. Ooh. Knock him up. We can't actually knock him in the pond because we need him for later filming. Don't do that. It makes the camera go out. Oh, we're really hard. At least I am. Not me. Stop it.
Ah, dear. Well, she said to meet me here. No sign of her yet, though. I wonder who she is. Ah, dear. Yeah. All she said over the phone was that, meet me outside Cypress Junior School, like in the old days. All I can say, it must be somebody I knew at school. Someone like Diane Moses, perhaps. There's an idea, blimey. Mind you, all that time ago, I only really had my heart for one person. Oh, I had a crush on a teacher. Oh. Miss Hortensia. Oh, yes, I remember her well. Oh dear. Mind you, even in those days I had impaired vision and the other kids used to take the piss out of me. Never did quite understand the reason. Something about her being as ugly as ugly as sin. I can't even say my words, I'm so... Ooh. thoroughly expecting to see someone. Talking of expecting, still got that sympathetic pregnancy Von Hellbent told me about. Where are you, my love, whoever you may be? Where are you?
Here. I'm here. Hello. Nice to meet you again. Tis I.
Excuse me, I don't recognise you.
It's me, Katrina Hortensia.
Miss Hortensia?
Yep.
My old gym teacher?
Yes.
My God, you have changed a bit. Your eyes have gone black.
Okay, I hope you like that. There'll be more. I'll put more on, hopefully. I'm literally just, every time I go and see Nick down in Salisbury, I'm bringing back new stuff that he's digitised. And, you know, I haven't seen some of this for 20, 25 years, so I'm literally sort of trying to select bits that I see. And, you know, those previous clips were from, I think it's around the 700s, 800s episodes, so nearer the start than the end. We did over 3,000 episodes. I think what you heard was recorded in 1995. What we've got next, the last clip for this episode before we have to finish, was a sketch that I did with Harry back in 2000. Now, before we did Sutton Park, we used to do lots of sketches, Beaches Broadcasting, and Sutton Park was originally supposed to be Beaches Broadcasting soap opera. Obviously, became its own thing, and I stopped doing Beaches and the sketches because, well, you could basically do sketches in Sutton Park as part of episodes if you wanted to. But in 2000, when Sutton Park was sort of beginning to peter out, I was also working on scripts for something called Copernicus Files. But that year, I also went to New York and Vegas, and I thought that this was a good excuse to start doing more sketches again as a sort of revival of Beaches. I think we only did one episode, and we did record in New York. I remember I went with my brother, and I definitely remember recording there. And Nick and I did something in Vegas, and we recorded Sutton Park in both New York and Vegas, but this little sketch was recorded in London near Clapham Junction, where Harry lived at the time, and it was supposed to be like a documentary. Harry is sitting at his computer tapping away, trying to look very professional, and I do a voiceover. I do a very bad voiceover, which doesn't really do him justice. Of course, having the internet at home in 2000 in the UK, well, that was pretty good. I didn't get internet in my home until 2003. So, yeah. So consider when you're listening to this that back in 2000, you know, this was modern. This was technology. Yes. I hope you enjoy it.
Hi. Is a professional businessman, highly successful in all he does. Not only does he run a successful internet business, he also is a trained and classically wonderful guitarist. Over the years, he has planted things in his room and he's been a wonderful gardener. He can also be found the streets of Soho on a Friday night underneath a red light. Is that true?
No!
Sorry. I'll start again. Okay.
Professional guitarist in Soho.
I'll start again. This is how he can move. He looks like any other ordinary 26-year-old, but in fact, in real life, he's a highly successful internet millionaire. Not only has he got his own business, but he also... What else do you do?
What?
What else do you do?
Tap on the keyboard. Tap on the keyboard.
This is how you can...
What?
What?
Yes, I know.
This is how... He looks like any other 26-year-old. But no, he isn't. He is really successful internet millionaire. Not only does he have his own internet thingy, art service, business, not only does he have his own internet business, but he is proud to be able to boast that he is also a classically trained guitarist. He is very good at tapping on the keyboards with his fingers, caressing them seductively.
Harry Gordon likes skateboarding, roller skating, mountaineering, shagging chickens.
What?
Is that not true?
No, I got it. Not chickens.
Sorry, which one is it? Geese?
No, lambs. Lambs.
Harry Gordon is a successful internet businessman. He's only 26. He's also a classically trained guitarist. In his hobby times, he likes to roller skate, shag sheep, and pull people under red lights.
That's right. I got it right at last. Thank God for that.
Do you still do things with figures?
Yeah, but occasionally. I just want to keep on the collar.
And thank you.
Thanks. Hello, Iggy, Uncle John, it's me, Ick. Ick the alien, how are you?
I'm all right, Ick. Oh, what are you doing here?
Well, I wanted to ask you to do something for me. I thought that perhaps you could teach me one of your Earth songs.
Well, I suppose so, yeah. You're all right. Let me think. just a short one. What about... you listen to me and then you copy me. Would you better do that?
Oh, yes, I think so.
Right. My old man's a dustman. He wears a dustman's hat. He wears corbelimey trousers. He lives in a council flat. He looks a proper nana with his great big hobnail boots. And when he takes them off again, he calls them his daisy roots. Is that right?
Yes, I suppose so. I didn't understand any of it, though. What is this dustman that your old man is?
Oh, well, a dustman is a sort of... Well, he does clears the rubbish away.
Oh, OK. My old man's a dustman. He wears a dustman's hat. I suppose that makes sense. There's a type of hat that a dustman wears.
Yes, that's right.
But what about these cold, blimey trousers?
I'm not sure, but probably baggy.
All right, he lives in a council flat, I understand that. He looks a proper nana.
Well, but not, well, he looks a bit of a nit.
A nit?
An idiot.
Oh, okay. He looks a proper nana in his great big hobnail boots, I get that, yes. And when he takes them off again, he calls them his daisy roots.
I think it's probably like Cockney slang or Daisy Roots boots. No. Oh, I don't know. You'll have to Google it, mate. You really will.
Okay.
Are you going to sing it?
I suppose so. My old man's a dustman. He wears a dustman's hat. He wears called blimey trousers. And he lives in a council flat. He looks a proper nana in his great big hobnail boots. And when he takes them off again, he calls them his daisy roots. Is there any more? This doesn't bear much resemblance to my own family upbringing. Was your father really a dustman, your Uncle John?
No, he was a yeti. But no, it's just a song. He wanted a song.
I did, yes, that's true. Oh, well. Thanks, then. Maybe you can teach me another song another time.
We could sing it together?
Maybe next time.
Hello, listeners, it's me, Paul. Dear, I don't know what's going on there. It's the Uncle John and Ick doing singing.
This is called Memory Loss. Melvin stared into the box. It was hard to take it all on board. Where had the time gone? It seemed like only last week that he'd been a teenager, although he would be first to admit that it wasn't his teenage years or even his 20s that he harked back to, but possibly his 30s or 40s, when his marriage had been secure, his job rewarding and his hobbies at their most inspiring. But it was hard to look back on all that now. Melvin stared into the box and saw all his loves and hopes and fears and memories moving about together in the darkness, slithering about together like so much spaghetti, like snakes. He took a deep breath in the hope that he would relive those happy times, but all he could smell was the mustiness of age. Melvin allowed himself to cry, but as he began to do so, he set aside the box, not wishing to get his memories wet. Without a second thought, he reached out for the box and carried it out of the kitchen into the backyard, where he laid it down on the barbecue, took out the lighter fuel from beneath, and poured it into the box. He would not miss his memories, he decided, as he reached for the lighter. At least he hoped he wouldn't. It would be better to live the last years of his life without all that baggage. As the box began to burn, he allowed himself a smile. It was odd. The smell of the fire was quite different to the smell of burning paper or wood. All burning memories smelt of was dust. This is called Hot for Just One Night. I'd never fancied you. You were just you. Just not my idea of hot. Too tall, too thin, too full of yourself. Too neat and yet somehow too scruffy. Too terse, sarcastic and distant. Not what I desired, not until that night. You were my friend, no more, until... I guess it was the strobe lights on the dance floor that did it. The smell of your aftershave, the comfort of your strong arms as we danced. It was all that, and maybe the drink. That night I couldn't keep my hands off you. Everything you said was funny. Everything you did was wonderful. We danced until closing time and then made out behind the club, undressing you quickly, making you moan. Later, in the back of the car, I was sick on your new Converse trainers. But I was smiling there in the darkness. You told me not to worry, that you would put them in the washing machine. Then you told me that you loved me, and I laughed and could not stop. Eventually, you proposed, and I said, ask me again tomorrow. Yet by tomorrow, the moment had passed. But oh, what a moment. I still wonder where I'd be if I'd have said yes. But the truth is, I simply never fancied you. You were just you, just not my idea of hot. Oh, how I wish I'd felt differently. Well, that is about all we have time for this episode. So I hope you enjoyed catching up with Daddy Grams and hearing from the regulars and, hearing my poems and, I hope that you'll join us again soon. Yes, the year is rapidly flying by. Won't be long till Christmas now, it really won't be. Before we know it.
Oh, yes, before we know it, absolutely. Oh, dear. What are you buying me for Christmas?
The question is, Yeti Uncle John, what are you buying me?
No, the question is, what are you buying me?
No, I don't think so. The question is, what are you buying me?
Oh, no. The question is, what are you buying me?
The question is actually, what are the listeners buying us?
What are the listeners buying us? Listeners, what are you buying us for Christmas?
Hey, listeners, don't run away. Come back. No, you don't have to buy us a present. It's fine. And let's just say goodbye.
All right, goodbye, listeners. No, it's fine. Speak to you again soon.
Bye-bye, listeners. Take care. See you again soon. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, Nick. You're looking worried. What's wrong?
Oh, sorry, Paul. Sorry, I was a bit deep in thought.
You're not missing your home, are you? You're not missing being up in space.
No, Paul. No, that's not the problem. No. I've just been thinking about, the business with Nathan.
Oh, of course.
No, I was thinking about what you said about being protected, and that maybe I should ask Cuthbert to be, like, my bodyguard.
Yeah. Do you want me to speak to him about that?
I'm not sure. I'm just worried that... I suppose I should speak to Cromarty about it, but I'm just worried that what if Nathan could somehow hack into Cuthbert? I mean, there's that other strange robot as well, the one with the more human voice, the one who's sort of like a rival.
Yeah, the one with the voice, but really, it's only a voice. It hasn't got a proper, like, a body. It can't walk around like Cuthbert. I know that at one stage, the voice was going to be transplanted into Cuthbert, but Cuthbert doesn't want that, and I don't want to tell Cuthbert how he should sound. You know, it's up to him. It's fine by me.
That's very good of you, Paul. I'm just worried, that's all. I'm just worried.
Well, let's go and speak to Cromarty. Let's see what he says.
Well, we could speak to Cromarty, but I'm just thinking that, there is no police for aliens. Not down here, there's not. I'm wondering what we should do. I'm wondering if, rather than worry about the protecting us, we should be thinking about catching Nathan.
Oh, I hadn't really thought about that. I suppose you're right. I mean, it's very difficult to prove that he's done some of the things we think he's done, though.
Yes, but I'm sure that somebody must want him for something.
Well, you're probably right. Oh, dear, why does everything have to be so complicated? We just need to be very careful. If he knows we're after him, goodness knows what he might do.
Yes, Paul. That's what I've been worried about. Oh, dear.
Dear, I'm sure we'll work something out. Don't worry. We'll sort something out.
I gotta go now!
I don't care!
Bye!
I want to go with you!
Gotta go! Bye!
Goodbye!
It's quite long.
Hey, that's insulting.
Goodbye, 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 goodbye.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.
Okay, bye.
Well, really?
He's not that shy.
I know that.
128. Unified, unique
voices.
Unified,
unique voices.
A network of inclusion.
Univazpods.net.
All right, Comedy's here now.
Oh yes, Comedy, are you ready?
Yes, this is most amusing. I shall sing along.
Come then, guys.
Right, yes, right, here we go.
World bands, dustman, wear a dustman's hat. You look like a one of those only if you can't do that. You look like a proper man with his great black boots. And when he went to put on again, he called him Daisy Hoots.
Yes.
Can we sing again?
Then, no. Well, this is the end of the episode.
Oh. All right. Bye, guys. Bye, listeners.
Yes. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Bye-bye now.
Happy holidays to you, and we will talk to you later.
You want to believe it, sweet cheeks.